Hey guys, and welcome to yet another episode of the Toku Secrets podcast presented by AnimeSecrets.org. It's been a while since we've been on here, and we're going through a bit of a troubling time period right now, but we're still here to make things just a little bit less stressful for you guys. We're going to be taking a look at a few special episodes of the current Power Ranger series airing Beast Morphers, but of course I can't do this all by myself, so the guys who are joining me here, please state your name and just tell the audience a little about yourselves. Go ahead, guys.
So I'll go first, given nobody else will. I'm Rizwan. Yeah. I'm the owner of Anime Secrets and longtime Power Ranger and Toku fan, as well as the anime fan. And we have other people who will introduce themselves now.
I'm Patrick, and I'm new here. This is actually my first time doing one of the second Toku Secrets, I think. Oh, yeah. Is it?
It's your first Toku Secrets, but your second review for us.
You know, I said Toku Secrets.
So. I didn't. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Anthony Davis. How are you guys doing today? I'm pretty much a big Power Rangers since I was a little kid. Collect all the toys. Pretty much, you know, I'm actually doing a cosplay now for one of the Rangers now, so looking forward to there's a video for that coming up soon, so be aware of that.
Sick.
Yeah.
Okay. So, as you can probably tell from the cover art of this, we're going to be talking about Beast Morphers crossover with the Dino Rangers. So, we're going to be talking about the Mighty Morphin, Dino Thunder, Dino Zards crossover with Beast Morphers, which is actually based off of the counterpart from Kyo Ranger, where these same teams also cross over. And I mean, look, Hasbro, see if they're gonna use the same footage that they could get their hands on. Makes their lives a little bit easier.
I'll be honest, I mean, I'm surprised that they even decided to do this episode, because I mean, you know,
I given how much original footage Beast Morphers had been using, like the Ghostbusters footage has been very scarce. So, for them to do something like this wasn't totally surprising to me, I guess.
It would have been more surprising if Saban actually did it, because you know Saban was never going to do this, because he can't exploit Tommy in any way with this footage. So.
Yeah. No,
I was actually making that joke the day before the actual team-up episode happened. I was like, I want to thank Kyoryuger versus GoBusters for not bringing Dragon Ranger Aubrey Black back.
Dude. And I also want to thank Dino Zards for not having JDF be one of the 10 Rangers.
No,
I mean, yeah, okay, really. So like, on one hand, I like JDF for what he's done for the community in terms of like being that iconic Ranger that everyone just knows. I mean, I know people don't like him and some people do like him, but we all have to admit JDF is kind of the guy that everyone knows the franchise by. Like him or hate him,
totally.
He's the face. So, you know, I mean, we're all kind of talking about like how we are glad he's not there, but at the same time, it's interesting that he's not there. Because he's been in every other crossover minus once a Ranger.
I think bringing him back for, like, what, 5-year anniversaries isn't a terrible idea, because I mean, it's gotten to the point where Aqua Ranger and like Gokai Red pop up every 5 years or so and stuff now, so like, if they stick to that, then I don't mind it.
I mean, I'm okay with him coming back, but I also want to see other Rangers that we haven't really seen much of come back and kind of see where they are in life now. Like, I would love to see where Zoel from Lightspeed Rangers ended up with his, you know, wife, and if they had kids, and how that's going on. Yeah, and like stuff like that. And then also, like, what happened with Time Force? I mean, they went back to the future, but, you know, what are they up to now? What's going on in the future?
Those poor guys didn't stay in the present after they came back for Wild Force. So,
yeah.
And given the rumored news that broke a couple days ago, there's a chance that stuff could happen more often. But that's another topic for another video, I guess.
I mean, we can talk about it a little bit now if y'all want. It's
currently... Seeing how it is kind of the hot topic of the IP at the moment, and there's a lot of ideas and things to go over with this, assuming it's true after all. Right. But the big thing is that it's being rumored that Hasbro is going to cut the licensing agreement with Toei, which means any Sentai supposedly that they haven't adapted yet will be off limits.
Yeah.
So everybody is freaking out as to what this means for the series. Are they going to kill it? No, they're not going to kill it. Hasbro put too much into this. They've been doing a good job marketing it. The toy line's been pretty decent. Beast Morphers, after it ended, had a pretty positive response overall. So my guess is that because Beast Morphers had, like, what, the most original footage of any Power Rangers season so far, maybe they don't see a need to adapt the Sentai anymore because they have the money to make suit. Because the Beast Morpher outfits, all the Go Buster aesthetics were recreated from the ground up by Hasbro themselves, because I heard the Go Buster stuff was in bad shape.
It was damaged, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, so they've shown that they can make aesthetics and suits and everything from scratch, so why do they need the Sentai footage anymore?
Now, they still can adapt maybe some Power Rangers from Sentai, but they just can't use the footage. Like, say,
I think it's assumed that they can still use stuff from seasons that we've already adapted, but stuff for seasons like Lupin versus Patrol and Kiramazur and Tokyuger and Juoger, that stuff, they can't legally do anything with those.
But I want Tokyuger Zords to come out and play.
I kind of want the... I was hoping Juoger get adapted because I like those outfits.
I love Juoger Sentai in general.
The world, too. He was Zuo the World.
Oh, yeah, Zuo the World's outfit is one of the best Six Ranger outfits ever. But... Mm-hmm. If this is the route that they're planning on taking with the series, I'm more than okay with it because it's going to give the show more room to be original.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not restricted by having to do something because this is in the Sentai footage.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in looking at what happened in Beast Morphers here, they kind of did that. There was a lot of things that wasn't even, like, there's a lot of weapons from Go Busters that were just never brought over and replaced with original weapons to Beast Morphers. So if that's what they're planning on doing, I'm all for it, but it's nothing official yet, but I can kind of buy its validity.
Yeah.
Basically,
we know if they're going to be keeping the show on Nickelodeon, though, because that's the main thing.
They did.
They did
say that the contract with Nickelodeon is supposed to end at the end of next year, and I haven't heard anything about it being renewed. Like, a lot of the people on the inside, like Toku Chris on Twitter, who's always really on top of, like, the inside stuff, hasn't heard anything about a renegotiation with Nickelodeon. So that means that Dino Fury could only be one season instead of two. Or something. I don't know. There's a lot of questions about that too. So we don't know.
They might be able to redo the contract between Hasbro and Nickelodeon, because you got to remember, Beast Morpher was the transitional in between Saban and Hasbro for the contract. So a lot of what we're seeing with the Beast Morpher in terms of directs and the Sentai are adapting and stuff like that, Saban decided the early stuff, and now Hasbro's finishing the job that they left off with. So of course we're going to see, like, parts of what Saban left us, and that's probably where the Nickelodeon contract we got for this one came from. But what I'm kind of wondering is, now that Hasbro fully owns it, are they gonna, you know, own it?
Well,
are they gonna do something different with it?
Hasbro, Hasbro has put some of their stuff on, I don't know what it's called now, but they used to have their own network, their own channel. I think it's Discovery, it's a Discovery network, a Discovery channel. Discovery Kids, yeah. Because they still air, like, what, the new Pony show, its reruns.
My Little Pony.
I think any new Transformers show goes there. They rerun the old original Transformers G1 and G.I. Joe cartoons on there. So most of the stuff Hasbro owns goes on that channel. So that or Netflix, which I kind of hope they don't do. But there are places that Hasbro can put the show. And I've been screaming for years to get it off Nickelodeon. I do not like how Nick is handling the show.
Well,
yeah,
but okay.
I would probably say that the show is in the current spot that it's in because, I mean, Nickelodeon has just not been treating it good. Like,
if you're not SpongeBob, they don't care about you. And that's kind of frustrating to me.
Like their stepchild, basically. It's like, you know.
They don't advertise it.
Like, you're just there, whatever.
I mean, okay. Well, maybe
the problem is just that.
Maybe I don't watch Nickelodeon enough because I really don't, but. Do they actually advertise and promote anything that's not named SpongeBob?
Not really. I mean, they'll promote some of their like newer shows. Like, I don't know what they're called.
Loud House gets their own. And then another show made, it's like a spinoff of the Loud House show. So
yeah,
that.
They advertise those. They have what. The new all that that they advertise
on there.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean, I would say
one thing I have noticed: Power Rangers doesn't get like any advertisement. Like I don't even see toy commercials.
I miss the old toy commercials from way back in the gap.
I've only seen one or two, so do I. And that was the Morph run. Another one was like the Blaster.
Yeah. So. Yeah, advertisement's bad. The fact that Nickelodeon forces them to spend a season over 2 years, I don't.
That would really kill me.
Yeah. So. Well, no, we'll see. We'll probably find out something maybe by the end of the year officially, but. You know, rumors are rumors, and this is a pretty big one at that, so I think it does need some addressing.
Well, the issue that we also face is that normally in a month from now. We would have known our next team. Like, we would have seen their cast photos and met them at Morphicon. But due to the virus, we're not going to be able to meet them in that setting. So, I don't even think they've been able to cast the new team yet.
Well, I don't know if they've casted anything yet, but I heard that New Zealand gave the producers and the creators of the show the okay to start doing stuff.
Yeah.
So, if they've casted people, then we'll find out who they are soonish, I guess? Because they made it sound like they're getting ready to start filming.
Well, if it's in New Zealand, that won't be huge of a problem, because from what I know, New Zealand is almost like completely free of the virus.
Yeah, they have one of the lowest positive counts in the world, so... That works to the series' benefit, that it's in a country that's been relatively on top of this the best they can. So it looks like Dino Fury might be good to go, but in terms of how long it's going to be and, you know, what happens after that, I don't know, because there's some rumors of the show going animated, there's some rumors of, like, a fanfic time travel movie, there's rumors of, you know, I don't know. There's so much, like, lack of information over the subject right now.
So, here's my question, before I give my thoughts on something.
Alright.
What the heck is the time travel thing even about? I've seen people talk about it, but what I've seen doesn't explain anything.
It's supposed to be a movie about an original team that I think travels to different points in Power Rangers history, and they like revisit moments. And have you ever seen the storyline for the Dragon Ball Xenoverse games? It kind of works like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they they go to key points in Power Rangers history and aid them with, like, irregularities or something, I guess. Isn't that what Hyperforce was supposed to be, though?
Yeah, it was.
So, to an extent. They're making it sound like that they're... Yeah. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, because it sounds a lot of... It sounds like a lot of it is reminiscent of the grid... Battle for the Grid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're traveling to different points in time to meet different Rangers to fight Drakkon or something. And I mean...
Well, they didn't confirm Drakkon, but I honestly would love if they made this some kind of in-universe Shattered Grid adaptation.
Yeah.
If that's what they're going for, then yeah, give it to me.
I mean, look, I want it. Drakkon
deserves to be in the main continuity in some way. Honestly.
Well, okay. I agree with you. I think he should be. And I mean, they mentioned Draven. Draven was supposed to be like a Drakkon copycat or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not really here to talk about the future as much.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about the Dino team up. But it was good to at least bring up our thoughts on where do we see things going for the future and what is going on from what we're hearing from Twitter and some of the other well known toku news casters. But yeah, Beast Morphers.
Ooh.
The so as we mentioned earlier, we're gonna be taking a look at the Dino team up episodes. It's a 3-parter episode. And it's basically an adaptation of the Kyoryuger versus Gobusters team up video that also brought in, you know, some of the other Rangers from previous teams, which included a U Ranger and Abba Ranger. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool to actually see this get adapted. Plus some, you know, we get some of the former Rangers back. And honestly, I mean, you know, just from like a technical standpoint, I mean, I just think it's cool to at least have a team up episode, like more of a classic team where like they team up with previous Rangers again, because we did a Toku Secrets episode not too long ago where we took a look at all the team up episodes in Power Rangers, and we just kind of pointed out how team ups have become so scarce since SPD. So.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we had, like, what, 3 or 4 total after.
This is why I'm hoping Dino Fury brings the Beast Morphers Rangers back for a proper team-up.
We need, like, a proper transitional team-up like that every season, like how Sentai does
it.
Yeah, I really hope Hasbro starts making those a regular thing again.
For those that watched Toku Secrets, that was episode 34 for reference.
Mm-hmm.
Click the link here to see it.
Yeah. But, so, the whole, so basically, you know, there were two, the whole plot of the episode is, you know, I might be a little bit fuzzy on this, but I do know that, the main plot revolves around the Beast Morpher Rangers having to assist the Dino Charge Rangers in their dimension, because as you remember, as established in A Dimensions in Danger, Dino Charge is a lot like RPM. It's one of those seasons that takes place in an entirely different universe. They're fighting against this new villain. His name is Goldar Maximus? Yes.
Yeah.
And he's basically a remake. He's basically like a, you know, souped up version of, you know, the classic villain Goldar. And it's really cool to see this villain. Goldar is one of my favorite generals from, you know, older Power Rangers series. So it's cool to see.
Really?
You know, yeah. Well, maybe not. Maybe not like one of my all-time favorites. But
it's sad they couldn't.
As long as had to play as a. And it's weird that they didn't, because they did get him to come back in the Battle for the Grid fighting game that came out a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know why they didn't get him for this.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Patrick, I don't know if like you were gonna say like as long, like don't worry, like Villamax or Ecliptor will probably be my top two.
I was about to say, if Ecliptor isn't your number one, then we have to fight. Ecliptor is hands down the best.
So of course, like with Team Up episodes, we get, you know, previous Rangers. Pretty much all the Dino Charge Rangers except Shelby and Riley return. Shelby and Riley are basically shown only morphed only throughout this entire episode.
What's really infuriated me.
Yeah.
Well, the voice actors did come back for the audio, so I did. That was pretty cool.
Did they?
Camille
Hyde.
Yeah, I mean
Pink. I'm not sure if Michael Tabor though.
No, there wasn't. They weren't credited, but
they weren't credited. No.
They sounded too familiar to their actual actors to not be them. So
I mean, it's a lot like
it could be similar to what they did in the Samurai team.
Yeah, I was about to say
Clash
that.
Rangers,
yeah,
that obviously does Darbo, sound like Ecca Darbo.
A different alias name, so he will, you know, get strike for, you know, he's union now.
Yeah.
But, Nate, let's take this one step back, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know we're talking about the Dino team up, but there's a lot of build up to get to this point that I feel like deserves some attention as well, because without the build up, what we're saying is meaningless in some ways. Like some of the points that we're going to bring up.
Yeah. It was like a good four episodes leading into the actual team up itself.
Yeah, so, basically, this began from what I considered the beginning of this to be with the Seraph Gavin crossover they did. Which I know they don't call him Seraph Gavin in Beast Morph.
They called him Shaku.
Shaku. That's what his name was.
I'm trying to remember. I did read something that name was actually a reference to something from Space Sheriff Gavin.
I'm guessing because the thing that
said before it ran.
Yeah, he says Joel Shaku.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Well, at least the name was respectful to who he was.
Yeah.
But,
so the Rangers get an intergalactic distress signal from, I'm going to keep calling him Gavin because it's more natural to me. from Gavin saying, hey, high level baddie on the loose in your quadrant, be on the lookout.
Ryjack. His name's Ryjack.
Yeah. And so the Rangers are like, alright, we're getting this distress call saying that there's this real bad guy coming from outer space. Let's go nab him. And they get an alert saying, hey, there's somebody in this area accessing the morphing grid. So the Rangers go deploy themselves, and instead of finding Ryjack, they find Shaku, and they nab him, and because of his alien dialect in the beginning, they couldn't communicate. Partly because
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I wanted to chime in and just say, like, he sounded like me when I'm trying to do these calls, and just like my voice sounds all over.
Yeah, he sounded robotic and stuff. But so they capture him and they think, oh, we did the great thing, we captured Ryjack, and they go on with their lives. Only to meet Ryjack later, like, wait, what? You're Ryjack? Then who the hell is Weedkit?
No, there are two of them.
So
he's been cloned.
Yeah. But it turns out the Axel Ryjack is after former Ranger villain and Ranger weaponry. And it just so happens that Nate, not Nate from this podcast, but Nate from the series.
Yeah, we gotta make that distinction now.
Yeah, he has like this huge armory of past legendary Ranger weaponry and morphers in Grid Battle Force. How it all got there and why is it all there? I have no idea.
Well, here's the answer. Shut up, it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome, but it's like, okay, so some of these things were destroyed. But also,
what really confused me was the fact that why are the mystic morphers there? That's magic based. Why is it? Because I can understand that if you have light speed stuff, I can stuff or like SPD time force. I'm cool with that. But why magic based?
My guess is I feel like they're setting Beast Morphers up to be like a catalyst season going forward as like a hub. And they did establish way beforehand in the season that Nate's was designing the weapons based off of past Ranger gear, so maybe they asked Tab to bring it in so he could study it.
Well, mm-hmm. So
they've established in Ninja Steel that they have the ability to jump dimensions and time, so asking the Time Force SPD RPM Rangers for stuff isn't impossible.
Well, the issue, and I'm glad you brought it up, is in the Ninja Steel crossover, they specifically said transdimensional crossing is for big emergencies only. I don't think a nerd wanting to make a new set of Power Ranger weapons.
Well, when the Rangers they're creating are designed specifically to protect the morphing grid, I would kind of consider that important because you want them to be as well equipped as possible.
Yeah, I mean,
because they're basically protecting the essence of what makes them Power Rangers.
Yeah. See, the way I kind of look at it, and I know I've gone off on this in previous reviews on Toku Secrets and also on the Taku Sentai Dizuranger, but every time we've done a crossover in the last 5-6 years, it's done nothing but fuel my theory that maybe we didn't get Project Hexagon in the way that they intended back at Ninja Storm and Dino Thunder, but maybe they kind of weaved in the background that we can't really see to say, like, yeah, there's a group of Rangers that were maybe active at one point, but are no longer active now, that keep tabs on everything regarding the morphing grid. And I think Grid Battle Force might be the manifestation of saying, here's the organization responsible for the task of what Hexagon was going to be.
I could buy that.
Yeah,
I could buy that.
Because, I mean, think about it. How did all those former Rangers know, hey, let's go help the Megaforce Rangers? How was it that in the Ninja Steel crossover, it wasn't just a, wait, so you're Tize? Oh, wait, you're, you know, they all knew each other. I mean, I get them in the legendary battle, but, like, whenever they started mentioning, like, how they all knew Draven, that implies that there's stuff going on that we're not seeing in the TV show. And, like, it seems to me like, you know, Tommy and all the other Rangers, they get together and do stuff that we don't know about. Even now. And that, even the way Jason came in, he was like, why do you call me now? Like, yeah, and he had the technology to jump over. Who's to say he wasn't at this, you know, secret thing called Hexagon or whatever?
He
knew Devin, and when, like, Devin had just became a Ranger in that season, so it's kind of like, you know that.
That's what I'm saying, is that I think there's a group keeping tabs, and they're using Grid Battle Force as their main front.
Yeah. And there are some things throughout the series that kind of show that there's probably some veteran alliance thing. Like, look at Forever Red and the Ninja Steel episode, Dimensions of Danger.
Yeah.
There's clearly some synergy between older Rangers and Forever Red, and then even Wes said that Rangers from past teams keep eyes on stuff.
Yeah.
I think that was something that actually came out of Wes's mouth when they popped up in the Ninja Steel base. So,
I mean, even in Forever Red, like, Jason says that, like, after he arrives, you know, he says that he recognizes some of these Rangers, even though Tommy's technically the only one that he should recognize. So,
well, based on no, the TV he show. Should recognize some of the others, too, like Tize, maybe.
I don't think he ever met TJ, at least not on my show.
Weren't they in school together? Or wait, no. Where did TJ come from?
No, TJ came in Turbo, remember?
No, but like, wasn't he but from the same that point, school?
Jason was already gone. At that point, Jason was already gone.
Okay.
No, he was moving to Angel Grove. Like, I mean, I guess maybe you could argue that maybe Jason would know Ashley and Carlos, since they were always in a
that would be what
in
I was,
Angel Grove.
Yeah,
but not TJ.
Right. But no, I mean, like, so there's some stuff I read regarding Jason in Forever Red, and some of the things that I read was Jason looked a lot more gruff in Forever Red. Like, he seemed more like an outlaw. Like, maybe he was on the run. And that was kind of referenced when he said, some of you more than others, and he said that directly at the Time Force guys, as in, like, he had some kind of run-in with them that may not have been on the up-and-up, you know? Like, maybe he did something like...
Yeah.
Like I said, we have no idea what...
Eric tried to give him a speeding ticket like he did Taylor, and he doesn't like it.
She deserved that ticket. I don't care what nobody says.
Yeah, well...
Well, there was a deleted scene also, like, with them on the Astro Megaship in Forever Red that was supposed to imply that Tommy and Jason weren't on the best of terms during that episode. Like,
see,
because
I wonder what could that be referencing.
No.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Do you know what they said in the deleted scene, or you just heard like a script or something?
Well, from what I know, like, I mean, it's like they were implying that, like, Jason, like, quote unquote, turned punk after the whole Turbo movie thing, and there was supposed to be like this deleted scene, and like it shows, like, you know, it's apparently showing like Eric and TJ just like having drinks next to the synthetron, that thing that makes food on the ship, and then, you know, Tommy's talking with Alpha and being like, yeah, you know, Jason's been kind of a jerk since da-da-da, and, you know, we're not exactly on the best terms right now, so, you know.
Yeah.
There's a little bit said on the Ranger Wiki page, I think, so, yeah, but then again, I mean, if you know the whole behind-the-scenes story about Forever Red, then you'll know that it was originally supposed to be something huge, but Disney basically said, whoa, now, so...
Yeah,
you know,
I gave you a team up with the Time Force Rangers. Y'all pushing it now.
Yeah.
It was like the whole Megazord team up that was rumored, which is ironic because we'll get to that.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, Rydzak has the weapons from past villains and Rangers, and he's collecting more. And Grid Battle Force is the place to be. So he makes a deal with, what's his name?
Evox.
I wanted to call him something else, I can't.
He has another name, but we can't say that here.
Yeah, not yet. But, yeah, so Evox and him make a deal, and they, like, team up, and the Rangers go talk to the real, like, to the Sokka, and they're like, hey, sorry that we locked you up. We kind of suck and didn't think about it, but to be fair, you're kind of an alien, so you met the description of what you broadcast to tell us about.
You did this to yourself.
So yeah, you kind of did this to yourself.
This is how you treat all your cops, all your space cops.
Yeah.
Well, this is America, so probably.
Yeah. You should just ask questions later. You shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So topical. Accidental political commentary.
Basically. But yeah, so that all happened. The Sokka and the Rangers team up. They defeat Rydzak, but Evox and their group manage to recover this weapon that Rydzak had that can reanimate people that no longer are in the living. And he used that to bring back one of the Beast Morpher villains. I don't even remember him.
Vargoyle.
Yeah, I don't remember where Vargoyle even comes from. Is that season one?
That's season one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember much of Beastmorph for season one, to be quite honest. It was just not that interesting.
He was only in, like, 3 episodes.
That's why I forgot he existed.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. yeah, so Vargoyle came and wrecked some stuff. Rydzak wrecked stuff, but they destroyed Vargoyle and Rydzak, but Skozel or Skrozel or whatever his name is.
Yes, Skrozel.
Oh, another thing happened. So apparently, before Rydzak gets destroyed, he has this little like growing device that he got apparently from Andrasia, which is the home planet of Orion or Megaforce, Super Mega.
Yeah, I remember that.
Continuity nod.
Right.
Well, I mean, hey, look, it's good. They're acknowledging that there's more than Beast Morpher. They're saying, hey, here's how we're going to tie in everything. I mean, look, maybe in Dino Fury or whatever they're going to call the next Dino season.
It's Dino Fury.
Same. We're going to have KO-35 come back. We might have references to the Triforians and Aquators, and it's wide open.
Well, I mean, we've had that before. Like, they mentioned Triforia in Ninja Storm, and we see an Equetian in SPD, and apparently they also...
Wasn't there an Equetian on also... A-Team?
No. We see one in the background in, like, one episode who's, like, this drill sergeant in SPD.
You just bet that background character.
Yeah, and then they mentioned KO-35 as, like, you know, a prison in this one episode of SPD.
Yeah.
I think it's called a Stakeout. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Jeez, Andros, what did you do?
I think it was Corona.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
See, let some of her astronomer out again.
Or maybe Zane just did something stupid again.
Who? Well, that's about on par with it.
Probably cheat on her like I call it he would.
Look, Zane's my man, okay? You can't...
I mean, I like him too, but he's a bit of a dutz.
I mean, you're not wrong per se. You're also not right.
The same dude
right.
Who dresses like a red just to scare Andros.
He's like my best friend Josh. I love him to death, but he can be kind of a nitwit sometimes.
Frankie,
you know?
Yeah.
Huh?
Frankie,
he got called out in the video.
Serves him right for not watching this.
He's probably out there saying F-U.
Yeah.
This will be the one video he watches.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Watch, Frank is actually watching it live right now. We don't even know it.
He's throwing curse words out in the Discord chat.
Actually, if Frankie were watching live, he'd have jumped in here by now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And said, listen. Okay.
Oh boy.
But, so I don't even know where we left off anymore. I've lost myself in all the...
Vargoyle.
Vargoyle. Right.
Bring back Vargoyle.
So, Rangers defeat Vargoyle and Rydzak. Skrozel takes the reanimator. And in the next episode, they find Rydzak, Sip, and, They go to, like, go take it over and see what's in there. But Yellow Ranger decides it's a great idea to not wait for her team, go to the SIP, and accidentally capture Keeper, who was there investigating.
Oh, wait, that's it out loud?
What? What's wrong with Keeper?
Dude, Keeper ruined the freaking ending for Down Supertron. I'm sorry. I'm still not forgiving what he did.
What did he do that was so horrible to you?
The time travel aspect of him, like, bringing back all the dinosaurs and whatnot.
It made a new dimension. It made it more interesting for the overall multiverse. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I've never understood the hate for the Dino Charge finale, honestly.
I mean, I get the
theme. I didn't like how it ended, I guess. It's like, he just was like, oh yeah, we should totally destroy the freaking, Dark Energem, and then Black Hole appears and just swallows the Earth up.
I don't like how they defeat Sledge.
Yeah,
it's a bomb. No, that'll be relevant in a few minutes.
Going to the freaking sun. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, I found it funny because Sledge is kind of comedic, and that was a funny way to go out to me.
Yeah.
So
they always made him to a joke, but I mean, I don't mind it. But at the same time, like, dude, like, he just can't get a win.
Mm-hmm. They can try. They can get too far.
He can't even die properly.
No. But yeah. So they go and defeat everyone, and then Selby. What's her name? Not Selby. I want to call her Zoe. I want to call her Zaki because I know her on Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
Zoe decides he's going to run in, capture Keeper, and then not realize it's Keeper until it's too late and he's kidnapped in a dinosaur journey. Just come out and like, hey, where's Keeper? And they're like, what?
You kind of skipped the... Skipping the important thing that Blaze and Roxy chose to bring Sledge back.
That, isn't that after this?
No, Snide. Well, Snide that they brought back first.
Yeah, they brought that Snide.
You know what, Patrick? You get the synopsis. I'm... Yeah. There. Fixed.
What's going on?
I thought Patrick was doing synopsis stuff now.
No, I was just dropping that. Because that was kind of an important note you missed.
Yeah, well, it was... But at the same time, is it really?
I mean, it caught me off guard when they brought him back.
I mean, honestly, we knew he was going to come back. He was in the...
Well, I knew Goldar was going to come back. I didn't think they'd actually bring him back.
Yeah, but I remember... Didn't they, like, bring him back in, like, the... In the Sentai counterpart as well?
Well, it's because he was supposed to be the resurrected version of whatever Zeltrax's Aberranger counterpart was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, they can't bring back Zeltrax because, well, Zeltrax died and that would require him to use the reanimation gun more.
Yeah. Well, and that design has already been used as a Dino Charge villain. So.
Yeah. Right.
Whoops.
Womp, womp, womp. But yeah, so the Dino Charge Rangers come out, Ivan, Tyler,
Chase.
Yeah, Chase.
Chase and Coda.
Coda, yeah. How did I forget my man Coda?
How did you forget Coda?
This is like his like,
yeah.
Third, like,
shame
third
on you, Riz.
Up, if you think about it.
Third team up?
Coda has been like teaming up with like a bunch of Rangers like since Dimension Danger.
He was...
So, yeah, he's had multiple teams.
Well, he's only in two team-ups, right?
Dimension and Danger, he was teamed up with a bunch of different Rangers from different teams, so I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he came back three times, I mean, because he came back...
because he came back in a Christmas special.
Yeah.
Or was it a Halloween special? One of the two.
No, it was Christmas.
Yeah.
And technically his actor is in a Sentai episode. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Dude, that was a big deal when that happened. Everyone was losing their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But,
By the way, yeah, continue going on with the plot, Riz.
Yeah. So, the Rangers go and help Dinosaur's team fight off Snide, and in the process of doing all that, Scrozzle reanimates Sleds and the entire Sleds crew, which leads to a fun, great throwback fight between the Dinosaurs Rangers and Sleds again. But Sleds isn't reanimated until he heals out for the fifth time, maybe third time, whatever. It's a bomb!
It's a bomb!
I lost it.
Yeah, me too. I'm alive! It's a bomb! Wait, I'm alive! I was like, oh, I missed you, Sledge.
Like, okay, Sledge wasn't a great villain. He was.
I liked him.
He was goofy.
Yeah, that's why I liked him. Because he was Lothor, but more tolerable to me.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I like Lothar to an extent.
Still, my favorite thing he ever did was when he came back at the end of Dino Charge, and they were like, where were you? Well, I was exploring the world, and he has, like, vacation pictures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Doing the character, I was like, bruh.
I don't know how anybody can hate that guy.
I don't hate
that's why... That's why I got so excited when he came back.
That's why I was kind of disappointed. I wanted him to have a better, you know, outing this time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he doesn't have to, like, go all, like,
oh, yeah.
Glory, yeah.
But at least treat his character like, hey, like, actually a big deal.
So, going back to everything else, that episode ends essentially with Dinosaurs getting Keeper back and them defeating Sledge's team, which doesn't kill them, it just makes them go back to Evox's lair to recoup and plan for next time. So the next episode is actually weird in how they do it. So we go from episode 12 to 22 back to 14 for Grid Connection.
Yeah.
Clip show. For some reason, the number of the clip shows at the end.
Yeah, I don't get that. But
well, it wasn't necessarily a clip show. It was more of just a tribute to some of the more iconic villains in the series.
Yeah. So basically, this entire episode goes around with the villains trying to decide how they're going to use the last of their Morphex to create or reanimate one more villain to help them in their fight against the Rangers. And they don't just outright say, we're going to use Goldar, like how they do in Kia Ranger. They actually look at multiple different Rangers, and that was really exciting for me. Like,
I was cheering so hard for Psycho Red to come back.
Dude, if Psycho so Red far. Came back...
I was hoping so badly. Okay. Psycho Red is one of my favorite villains in the series.
But if Psycho Red came back, that means Andrus has to come back.
Technically, they did bring Psycho Red back, technically, like, because his monster form was in Lightspeed Rescue, but...
I'm talking about...
No, we need, like, actual Psycho Red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they discussed the pros and cons of Psycho Red. They discuss the pros and cons of Astronema, and they decide, well, we can't bring her back. She's now Corone and Lost Galaxy Pink Ranger. That's not going to work. And everyone's like,
and I was
well,
like,
fuck.
Astronema and Korag got purified. Psycho Red can only beat Red Rangers.
Yeah.
Zed would. I love their excuse for Zed. They're like, he would try to overthrow Evox, and we can't have that. And I'm like, yeah, that was a real good point.
Yeah.
In hindsight,
I mean,
Zed
look.
Would walk out here and then try to kill Evox immediately. So that would end well.
But I gotta say, I wouldn't want him to bring back Zed ever again. Because of Rob Axelrod dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he was still with us, then I would have been like, Zed, do it.
Dude, Axelrod would have done it.
I know he would have.
Yeah, I've met that dude twice, and he's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard that he was just a great guy all around.
Oh, I love talking to him at the interview we did with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. Rest in peace, my friend. He actually...
Rest in power.
He gave me his phone number after we did the interview. Because he's like, hey, whenever you could put the interview online, I want you to email it to me. And he gave me his business card, which had his personal home number, his cell number, his mailing address, and everything. I'm like, dude, this is like the power.
Frame this, hang it on my wall.
Yeah.
I may or may not still have it.
You better still have it.
I do have it, better, but I'm being coy about it. But yeah, no, they talk about all the different villains. Not much else really happens except for the typical Roxy and Blaze try to get more Morphix, and that leads to a little skirmish and a fight.
Well, no, it was the rest of Sledge's crew got blown up by the Beast Morpher Rangers.
True.
So easily.
Well, I mean, they're not...
They weren't really tough villains.
Yeah, they were never established to be very powerful.
No.
Like, I don't think the Dinosaurs Rangers really had a big challenge ahead of them fighting Sledge.
I know they was like, yeah, we're going back to our dimension now, but like, but wait, what about your villains? You guys are terrible. They're not that.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here like, why did they leave? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, like, they're weak, but like, why would you leave? Then you could still help out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of like how you know, technically the Dino Thunder and Ninja Storm team up ends, like, you know, the Ninja Storm Rangers just decided to retire. Now, technically, Lothar is destroyed, but they don't know that Lothar got destroyed, and it's almost like, hey, I mean, Lothar, he's kind of a weakling anyway. You guys could probably just easily destroy him.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. Yes. If we could each pick one villain to bring back, why was it not Goldar and Carry On?
Wait, say that again?
If you could pick a villain to come back, why was it not Goldar? Because obviously Goldar was a weird choice to me.
The only reason they picked him is because of the Sentai footage.
Yes, but if we had no Sentai constraint, who would you pick?
Who would I have brought back?
Yeah.
Let me be reasonable with this. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring back Dark Honda. Yeah.
I don't know about Dark Honda. He would have been a real.
They'd had to kill him 9 more times, and that would have been a waste of everybody's time.
Well, okay. So the issue with bringing back Dark Honda is the same reason he can't bring back Zed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, going back to a thing we talked about earlier, Ecliptor.
Ecliptor would be really good.
I go with Ecliptor.
Nobody would deny bringing Ecliptor back.
Even if he didn't, like, listen to the commands, you could easily just be like, well, he's a robot, so they could just reprogram him.
Yeah, well, I mean, it happened to him once. They could figure out how to do it to him again.
Yeah. So, Anthony, who do you bring back?
My first thing was Arcana, but since that's technically not a good one because, like, betray everybody. I did say Ecliptor, and everybody would be Ecliptor. But, honestly, if I had to pick personally, I would bring back Villamax.
Who?
Villamax? That's not a bad option.
That's decent, I'll give you that.
Yeah. I think, though, for like an aesthetical thing, where was Mezagog?
That's what I want to know.
I think he would.
Who is this? I'm Mezagog. Why does he talk like that?
Yeah.
Sean Silence.
He emphasizes every syllable to an unreasonable extent. Kill him immediately.
Silence.
Don't you touch me.
See, those are all good choices.
I will destroy Eva.
If there was a way to bring back, like, the white...
You know who they...
good?
You know what? I was just thinking the same thing, Riz.
What?
The what?
The white, evil white Donovan.
Yeah. If you brought him back...
Evil Trent?
Evil Trent. Like, the clone. Because you gotta remember, the reason they didn't bring back Astronomer is because he became Corone later. But
that's right, that he was a clone.
The clone was different than Trent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he was completely...
That...
You would have had a hard time beating him.
Evil Trent was actually really powerful, surprisingly.
He was one of my favorite Ranger villains of all time.
That is actually a really good idea.
And you can to bring him back, you could easily have as like a little like straggle dagger. That could be something that brought him back.
Yeah. And I'm sure they have it somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have brought him back. Or just because of fan love, the Psycho Rangers, because God, they were amazing.
Mm-hmm. I remember when they showed the data card in the chest of villain weapons. I was like, please.
Bring them back.
The Psychos are like arguably one of my favorite villain groups. Maybe my favorite villain group.
I wasn't really too keen on their like graphic novel, but I still like.
Yeah.
I don't know of a single person who doesn't like the Psycho Rangers. So
if you don't like the Sucker Punchers, you're wrong. Move on.
Yeah. It's one of the best. It's like, it's probably the best non-finale story arc in the series. I'll make that statement.
And like, they almost killed the Rangers troll, like several times. Like
the troll and me.
Even at small numbers, they still be able to beat him. You know,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Really,
the troll and me would say, I see your Psycho Ranger story arc, and I raise you one anime story arc.
I said in God. The series. In the what?
I thought you meant the Power Ranger series as a whole across all season.
Yeah.
Well, he was a dick. I don't want to call him.
No, but like the troll in me would say that bring back the Animus guy from Wild Force.
Because he's like, I'm taking all the Zords. You guys, you're Beast Morph for Zords.
You guys have been fighting the orcs for 30 episodes. I don't trust your commitment yet. You haven't proven anything to me. What? Have you been facing the wrong direction this whole time? What is wrong with you?
This is why I hate Wild Force.
Could you imagine coming in, like him coming in there and him seeing like the Beast Morphers like Zords and just going like, these are animals. I'm taking them.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm gonna watch these new Rangers today. He doesn't open his blinds and he's like, they're not doing anything.
Try harder.
Harder. More effects.
Faster. Harder. More.
Thank you for reminding me how much I hate Animus.
Dude. Yeah,
I think everybody hates Animus.
Who was it told
me? You know what the one person I hate the most in Power Rangers in the entire history? That old woman from the Lost Galaxy, Lights Person Team Up, the one that said she didn't believe in monsters.
That said what?
She was...
Oh, yeah, that old receptionist in the Lightspeed Lost Galaxy Team Up.
Yeah, it's like...
Okay, if we're going to talk about bad team ups, that's where you begin.
That's where you begin. Yeah.
We've already talked about how bad the team up episode is.
There's
in
no
links,
such
but...
thing as monsters, even though there's monster attack on the regular basis. Mm-hmm. Stupid.
Dummy. I just moved here. I don't know about monsters.
Yeah.
I think she was a monster too. I know there's no way someone that's stupid.
She was Trakina.
That'd be great.
Directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Well.
But going back to the story a little bit. So, in the end, Blaze and Roxy used their hacked memories from the real Blaze and Roxy to remember Ranger history class, to remember Goldar, and to say, well, hang on, Goldar is the toughest guy that the Rangers ever faced in all of history. Let's bring him back.
I refer these people to a quote that Lord Zedd, whatever he said. I can't believe that bubblehead said that.
I know.
Like he got his butt kicked by Tommy on a regular basis, and then all of a sudden the other ring started.
Jason beat his ass up a couple times too.
Definitely.
What difficult villain from the face? I don't know, man. There's like Daishi. There's.
Throwing them good hands.
There's Mezogog, there's...
The White Ranger clone.
Yeah, there's Trakina, Bansheera.
Bansheera wasn't that great.
Yeah, Rancic wouldn't work, as much as I'd love to see him come back.
Rancic would be really interesting to bring back if he was, like, still, you know...
Purified?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Goldar was a villain that the Rangers could actually hold. Not all of them, but at least some of them could hold their own system unmorphed. So.
Yeah.
What if we bring back Scorpina? Well, she needs to be dead first. She just kind of ran away 20 years ago and no one's seen her since.
Yeah.
You know who they... Who even though like this is not my favorite season, but I do enjoy these characters. The freaking Fear Cats.
No, they need to stay dead. They need to stay dead.
Anthony,
I like them.
Anthony, I like them.
You're saying something good about Overdrive. We don't allow that here.
Nope. You're not Austin. Or Ronald.
I like them.
Don't make me get the newspaper.
I mean, if you want to bring back their Quester counterparts from Bowkinger, and I'm all for that, but not the Fear Cuts.
Yeah, really.
Okay, so Goldar's back. And I don't know if his voice is more annoying or less annoying than the original one.
It's more annoying. Yes. I don't like it whatsoever.
Yes. Mm-mm, doobie doo.
He sounds like he's speaking in all caps.
Well, okay, let's stop for a second and talk about all of the dubbing they did.
Yeah, so they didn't have the copyrights to the original voice audio, I believe, is the reason.
Yeah.
Why they didn't do this. But my goodness, at least try to make them sound like the people they are.
They sounded nothing like
we'll hit upon this again when we get to the actual Dino team up, but good grief, Connor, what happened to you?
Connor wrote himself.
Why did he sound like your stereotypical pocket protector nerdy dude?
Mm-hmm. Maybe he didn't go well with soccer in the end and he decided to say, screw it, I'm gonna become
Like, I don't mind redubbing voices if necessary, but
at least make them accurate.
At least try.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was so painful. Like, watching those clips, while it was a great fangasm, was one of the lower points at a crossover.
Oh my god. Don't even start on Angelos. You're wrong. What did they do to you? Who was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's continue on with the story, guys.
No. So yeah, now we have the actual team up episode.
Yeah. Finally. So here we got what's her face? Oh, Keeper came back. That's his name. I forgot.
Yay.
Keeper comes back. He comes back and tells everyone, "Hey, there's a huge disturbance.
You better die."
I saw a vision of Devin being hit by a meteor, and Devin's like, "Man, I'm going to a video game tournament. I ain't got time to hear about you talking about some meteors. Let me out of here."
Devin's like, "Lol, no."
Yeah, Devin's like, "Lol, nope. You're wrong. Just admit it."
Uh-huh.
So, Keeper cautions them, and as soon as Devin leaves, they get a distress call from the Dinostars Rangers, and they're like, "Hey, so you know how we didn't help you defeat our enemies? Well, can you come and help us defeat your enemies? Because they kind of suck." And so Beast Morpher team goes and helps them while Devin's off trying to go to a video game tournament. But halfway to the tournament, he has to stop because Cruz and him realize, "Oh, crap. There is a meteor hitting at us, and it's about to hit us. Crap, we got hit by a meteor." So they hightail it back to the Grid Battle Force in time to find out, "Oh, hey, our team's all in another dimension, and we can't get there easily. So let's call for Ranger help from the Morphin Grid."
And enter Jason.
Basically. So Devin summons for Ranger help, and the Morphin Grid gives him Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta ask myself, what did Tommy do wrong to not be the thing that the Morphin Grid threw out again?
Well, he was holding the T-Rex coin, remember?
True. Mm-hmm. But the T-Rex coin came out of the Morphin Grid, implying that the Morphin Grid selected Jason to come.
Yeah.
Maybe this is like the second time, like maybe the Morphin Grid just has like this, little rollery thing to decide, like, okay, who are we going to send this time?
You know,
okay, Jason.
There are legitimate times where I feel like the Morphin Grid is like the speed
trolling us
force, where it has some sort of sentience to it, I guess.
Well, that was confirmed.
Was it?
Dawn of Thunder. They confirmed it.
Right.
Okay, so it wasn't.
I get it. Goldar came back, the Morphin Grid was like, "We need the one ranger who's shown that they can beat him. Jason."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. Boom. I solved the case.
Yep.
Because that was so hard to solve.
Mm-hmm. So nobody else Jason, said it before, so I guess it was hard to solve.
So, they're kind of a, you know, with this whole story. So, Jason comes back. He and Devin go to the Dino Charge dimension. You know, the main villains are trying to, you know, they managed to steal, I think, 4 energems. And, you know, they're using them to try to create this own, like, you know, major Zord that's like, you know, a combination of, like, multiple dinosaur DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So then all the Rangers show up. The Beast Morph Rangers go after the guys who have the energems. Jason gets the Dino Charge Rangers together. And then the Dino Thunder Rangers just appear right out of nowhere, along with the other 4 Mighty Morph Rangers, which I have a problem with that, because, I mean, with the whole Dino Thunder Rangers, like, I mean, the other Mighty Morph Rangers appearing obviously makes sense, you know, because, you know, it's Jason, so, you know, you could just say that he calls his friends or something, but, I mean, the Dino Thunder Rangers just... I mean, obviously they're there for the Sentai footage, but I mean, there's no build up to them showing up or anything.
And it's funny that we were talking about this earlier jokingly, but I feel like Tommy being in this team up would have been for its benefit.
It would have, because then you
I'm going to
everything.
Another dimension. Yeah, I would have gone. I'm going to another dimension to help out another dinosaur team, and he would have been like, "I've got a couple kids that would fit the aesthetic."
Well, no, Tommy would have said something more, like, sleazy, like...
Well, I'm just putting it in my own words.
Yeah,
but...
you go into the Dino Dimension, I got some Dino Rangers for the job.
Yeah, and then, boom, they're on the...
And,
but, like,
yeah.
So...
I mean, you should have had one of the Dino Thunder Rangers appear on Morph 2, and here's the thing, I mean, I get it, like, you know, I mean, I don't know what James Napier is doing, he's the guy who plays Connor, by the way.
He is, I actually asked somebody about this, and I got an answer, he is unioned. So,
and
he said he had no interest in ever coming back. So,
Ethan's still pretty big on the circuit, as is Trent.
I was about to say that he's appeared like Kevin Duhani, like he's been in like every Power Morph on, you know, with the exception of
myself.
We
have interviews with him and Trent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I mean, they've come
back
to like the Ranger fandom more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't they bring them back at least? That'd been great.
Maybe I guess you can't bring Trent back, but Ethan at least.
Well, you can bring back Trent.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I would have liked to see Jeffrey Perazzo, you know, which
original footage. Come on, it could happen. I mean, what if he went and said like, "I'm not going to help y'all. I'm going to help the Beast Morpher guys fight."
Oh, yeah, okay, that would have...
Yeah.
It would have been funny to see Jeffrey Perazzo, because, I mean, this is just, like, a little inside thing, but, like, you know, when Anthony and I were at Power Morphicon, I just kept on, like, running into Jeffrey Perazzo, like, in the hallway all the time, and at one point I just said, like, "Wow, Jeffrey, we just seem to constantly be running into each other this, you know, this entire trip," and he just laughed at that, so... Plus, Anthony and I also shared a ride to the airport with the guy who plays Ivan. So
yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah,
that
was really
awesome.
Yeah, he was a totally cool guy. I like that guy.
Most of the Dino Charge cast seems like they're cool people.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
yeah, they're all cool people to like follow on social media.
Oh, especially Brendan.
Yeah,
Brendan's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So he's
yeah.
Sierra Han is also really fun to follow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I expected nothing less out of your mouth tonight, aside from that.
Look.
Yeah.
Sierra Han is a great person, and she must be protected at all costs.
She is actually really cool, though.
She is really cool,
in all honesty.
Like, watching her Instagram videos, like, where she just does random stuff in life, I like it. Same for Jacqueline, who plays Zoe. I love watching her on Instagram.
That sassy from Nathan when you said they're really fun to watch.
Oh my god. Mm-mm.
Yeah, they're entertaining to watch. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so oh, I'm sorry, Patrick.
I'm going to drop a critique here. And it could be fixed later this year when the show resumes back on Nickelodeon. But this episode is painfully rushed.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But I also think that this episode might have an extended edition.
It most definitely has to have one, given how they do stuff.
It feels like it had footage cut out, because this is... For those of you who don't know where these episodes aired, it was on a channel called Pop that airs in, England, is it?
The UK. Yeah.
UK? And this channel doesn't seem all that, like, big. Because there was some times where we thought that the Villain Clips Show episode that came before this was actually going to air in production order, meaning it would have been the last thing they showed. So, like what happened with the Mega Battle, the extended version didn't air until after it aired on Nickelodeon. That was the first time anybody had seen that.
Yeah, because...
So I'm thinking that when the version that we saw airs on Nickelodeon, they might do an hour-long version. And if they do that, that would fix a lot of the problems I have with this. I know that some of the issues are, like, you know, some people didn't come back, Thunder Rangers not being there, not having a real reason to be there, but that's just from, like, you know, Sentai and production, you know, can't get certain people back because of unions and everything. But
yeah,
if they extended it another half hour, it would fix most of the reasonably fixable issues I have.
Yeah, because everything was great about the crossover until Jason appeared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the point.
Too fast.
Well, okay, Jason's appearance is fine, but everything after it didn't feel right. It just felt super rushed.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I didn't feel the excitement for Jason when I saw him. I was like, okay, cool, he's back.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a little bit excited seeing him, because it was the first time he's been back since Forever Red. So it was cool just to see him again, but they didn't make it as grand as it could have been.
They could have done a lot more for him to make it, like, more, you know,
yeah, like, hype. As much as we crap on the Megabore for good reasons, I will still defend how they introduced the Past Rangers in that.
Dude, I still get goosebumps watching that sometimes.
Yeah, when they all pop over the cliffside, and then they slowly walk to it on helmeting themselves, that was amazingly done. But this is just like Jason just shows up. He's like, hey, what up?
Like, okay, even when they introduced the three interdimensional rangers to come help Ninja Steel.
Yeah.
Like when they showed Wes, Coda, and Gemma.
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
That was hype. I was hype because it wasn't, you know. Because they did this whole big thing like, I am Dinosaur's blue.
Showing up in suit helped. Like when that coat flopped off and I saw the Time Force Red outfit, I like, hey, Wes!
Yeah. No, I think we all did. And I mean, that's part of the hype is that we had.
Yeah.
It just felt underwhelming. It felt like they spent all their money doing the other things they did. Like, they had all the money spent with Dr. K in the episodes prior when Devin needed help with his dad. They spent a lot of the money on the Gavin stuff and all the attempts to get the footage and the audio for the Eclipso. I think they lost some budget doing all that, and they might have lost it in Grid Connection.
But, well, I mean, like I said, I still feel like there is an extended version, and this channel only had room for the half-hour slot.
Yeah, but
so
what would you...
They aired the cut version, so...
But, okay, remember, when they did the hour-long legendary battle episode,
mm-hmm.
they didn't have an hour of, like, content for the battle. They had...
It was just that extended rapid-fire morph fight against, what was his name, Mavro, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
They just added that final Gokaiser fight into the show.
Exactly, so they're not going to... What can they add from the Sentai crossover?
They could have some more, like, conversation and dialogue between Jason and the Dino Charge Rangers. They can maybe have a scene of Jason maybe contacting the other two, you know, the rest of the Mighty Morphin team and stuff, you know, setting something up. And then the fight scene could be extended, because that fight scene in the movie was, what, 3 minutes long?
I don't remember. Mm-hmm.
It was a long fight scene, and there was a lot of footage that they could actually use. Same with the thing we're about to get to, the Megazord fight, which I'm actually surprised they put in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and they actually improved upon it a little bit, because the one thing I really hated about that was that the Zoo Ranger and Abba Ranger's cockpits were replaced with a white void, when in this they actually used stock footage from Mighty Morphin and Dino Thunder.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Which caught me off guard, but it made it aesthetically better to look at.
Yeah.
But yeah, they also probably could have had a better explanation as to how the Dino Megazord and Thundersaurus Megazord got there, because there was no reasonable explanation for them to be in an alternate dimension.
Well, mm-hmm. Okay, think about the fact that Devin summoned his Racer Zord.
Yeah, I guess that they could have come in that
so,
way.
So, I mean, but look, if they have the weapons of legendary Rangers to develop weapons for the Rangers, who's to say Nate doesn't have a Zord hanger somewhere with old legendary Zords?
That'd be cool.
Even though the Dino Zords were technically destroyed in the start of Season 3.
I want you to remember they had a Ghost Day Morpher in that room. Those were destroyed.
Were they? No, they weren't.
Weren't they?
No, they used them in Super, remember?
Right. I wish they were destroyed.
Yeah, it would have explained them getting the super powers.
There's a simple explanation for it.
Oh,
side tangent. I still wish that they went with that fan idea of them using the cards instead of the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do I.
It would have been a pretty brilliant way of weaving the two seasons together, but oh well, Megaforce isn't known for being creative.
Megaforce had great creativity. What?
Yeah, exactly my point. So yeah,
creativity is for the weak.
So yeah, Evok summons his giant dinosaur mecha thing, and Jason, that delivery was hilarious. I have serpent tails, man. That thing has six heads. That line was hilarious to me for some reason.
Yeah,
I mean, he tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like the Serpentera name drop, though. Yeah. That was surprising. So yeah, they summoned the three Megazords.
I mean, that's all he talked about. He talked about it in the last team up, too.
Yeah. Jason's got something for Serpentera.
He literally, like, dealt with it, like, two, three times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they summoned the three Megazords, which was really cool to see the Dino Megazord back again.
Yeah, of course. It was cool seeing the Thundersaurus, too. I like
that. Well, all three of the Dino Megazords are sweet. It was cool to see them mm-hmm. back again. They blow Evox's whatever the heck that thing was to pieces. And
Well, they have to get, like, part of, I haven't really been keeping up with Beast Morphers that much besides these episodes, but what is the counterpart for Tatagami Leo?
The Beastex King Zord.
Yeah, they have to do like a sort of combination with that in the Dino Charge.
I forgot that combination was even in the Sentai movie.
Well, I'm not surprised though, because that's how a lot of older Sentai movies would, resolve, like have the mechs from two different Sentai combined with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's not really that surprising. Only time I don't think that happened, I don't remember that happening, was Ghost Ager and Shinkinger, but that's another topic for.
Yeah.
But yeah, but then after that, you know, everybody says their goodbyes. We hear Connor talk in a voice that is so obviously not his that it makes Leo's voice factor from the Lightspeed team up sound for better by comparison. And then everybody goes home.
Yeah. Better than any video game he ever played.
Yeah. And
I mean, I don't blame him.
You know, like we all said, you know, this it's obviously cool. Seeing the whole team up with the Dino Charge part was good, but you know, once it gets to like Grid Connection and they bring in Jason, that's kind of just when it's like, you know, they just kind of hit fast forward on a lot of things, and hopefully we'll get an extended edition of this, but
we'll set the way to see if about we, that. We don't.
I mean, I know yeah. we will, but I'm just not convinced we're going to get anything substantial.
I think it could help with pacing. Of course, it would help with pacing, which is the problem. But there's some things they could do. Like I said, they could have Jason, a scene where Jason contacts the other teams to set it up. They could have Jason and the Dino Charge Rangers converse a little bit. They can extend the fight scene and the Megazord scene a little bit. Because there's a lot of fight footage that they just completely cut out. So they could easily add another 20-something minutes, easily.
And my whole attitude is that I just think that Hasbro, with this episode, does show that they do legitimately care about the series. And obviously, they're not going to be the best to begin with. You know, give them a couple of seasons. Give them a couple of years to, like, find their footing. But I think this is...
Hasbro?
A good step in the right direction. Yeah, Hasbro.
Yeah.
I think they already found their footing. I mean, they...
Because...
They're wielding stuff together from all the old seasons pretty well.
Because we haven't even talked about the stuff that they established before this, and then, of course, the big thing that they established after this in the final arc.
Which is going to be in our next podcast.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
That one... We need to talk about the final arc of this season, because that went places I wasn't expecting it to on.
I know, right? Mm-hmm.
It went places, so, and I think we need to have a whole another podcast for that.
Oh,
because
yeah.
if we start opening that up right now, I don't know if Nate's first seen it, and second, I don't know if we have time for it.
No, we don't.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
Yes, you will.
You need to check it out before next week, I guess.
Okay, I'll do what I can, guess.
So yeah, the build up to this was incredible. Like especially the Dino Charge team up and the villain homage episode were legitimately fun to watch. Yeah. And I mean, and I still enjoyed Grid Connection for what it was, but it's no Reinforcements from the Future. It's no To the Tenth Power. It's no Forever Red.
I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to say that I enjoyed Legendary Battle more than Grid Connection.
Oh, Lord.
I enjoy the Ninja Steel team.
Ninja Steel was a better crossover as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still say the worst team-up is the Time for Lightspeed. That, to me, is still the worst team-up.
The worst for me is Lost Galaxy meets Lightspeed.
Really?
Yes.
I think the Time Force Lightspeed one was the biggest letdown.
That was
mostly because it was
letdown.
One episode.
Yeah.
If they extended that one to two episodes, it would have been fine. But
yeah, you're right. I can give you that. But I still stand by. I think that Grid Connection wasn't anything, like, hugely special.
Yeah.
But I also think that the things that Legendary Battle did do right outweigh the things that Grid Connection did right.
Yeah.
I'll withhold my full judgment until we see if there is an extended cut. If there isn't an extended cut, then, yeah, this...
But I'm not talking about the extended cut of Legendary Battle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that third already adds a little bit more with the Mavro fight and then the Coron reference.
Yeah.
I'm talking strictly what we saw.
The 30-minute version?
The 20-minute version.
Yeah.
If I had to compare those two, I would give it to Megaforce in that category.
Yeah.
Mainly, and I know people are going to start bashing me in a second, but the main reason I say that is because the build-up with the Rangers on the cliff gave a lot more hype.
I'm not gonna deny that.
And that alone does a lot more for me as a fan, because that was like, okay, they knew how to write the love song to us to say, hey, here's your childhood, here's
your lifelong hero that you've been following.
Exactly. And they made it, like, so reverent. Like, we, you know, when the Rangers are saying Wild Force, Time Force, you know, they're, like, saying all these different team names. That build up more hype, because then you're like, yeah, that was my team. That's what
and
I grew up
with. I've even said that when comparing it to the Sentai War, because I didn't like how the Sentai introduced the past teams. It was just Aqua Ranger, Big One, and then, like, what, Rio and May and Deca Master, and then all of a sudden everybody's just on screen at once without any introduction. Like, okay.
Well, that's why they had the entire Gokaiser season to do introductions one by one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Gokaiser worked for me, is that while they didn't have a good intro to explain what was going on, they actually they had a better set of thoughts for how to show off the different scenes in the series. Hey, we have a question from the Twitch channel, surprisingly.
Okay.
I don't know how to say your name, so I'm going to attempt. M78 Eddie is asking, is Ultraman better than Power Rangers? Thought.
Never seen an Ultra series outside of Gridman.
Yeah, I don't watch Ultraman.
But one thing I have seen from opinions from people who do follow Ultraman is that Ultraman is a lot more mature than Sentai, Kamen Rider, and whatnot. It's aimed for more of an adult audience, so it's a little bit more, I guess, gruesome at times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, like, 10 years older than either of them, so...
Yeah. I mean, I want to see Ultraman, it's just that I never gave myself the opportunity to watch it.
I need to finish on Sentai and then maybe dip into some Kamen Rider before I even touch Ultraman. But yeah. It is something I would like to look into in due time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My girlfriend, who's from Japan, like, she has mentioned Ultraman here and there, so maybe it's more popular than that. I know Kamen Rider for sure is much bigger in Japan than Sentai.
Sentai is more popular over here because of Power Rangers, let's be real.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ultraman is more popular in Japan solely because he's been around longer. Though he's seen as more of a Japanese icon.
Yeah.
Holy crap. So, M78 Eddie has personally had thousands of hours of Ultraman. I'm assuming that means he's watched thousands of hours of Ultraman.
Well, there's a lot of seasons to go around. There's 54 seasons now, is it? Something like that?
Something. It's pretty far up there.
Including Gridman being a spinoff season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So...
But yeah, we've been doing this for quite some time, so, you know, just to, you know, kind of wrap up, unless you guys have anything else you want to say.
I've said my piece. The whole thing is fun to watch, a little bit flawed, but I can't say that I enjoyed this whole, like, tribute saga that they did.
Yeah, it was a good build-up. The Grid Connection needs lots of work. But overall, Beast Morphers on track to keep the Rangers relevant in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, hi, guys. Well, Eddie, I put the Discord link to our server in here. If you want to come hang out with us and talk over text at some point, or maybe a voice call. Tomorrow, we are planning to do a community stream. We haven't selected a game yet, but we'll post details as soon as we get around to deciding what we're going to do tomorrow. So, stay tuned. We're happy that you guys had a chance to join us, and stay tuned for next time, I guess.
Yep.
Be sure to check us out. You know, we're probably going to be trying to do a little bit more here on Tokyo Secrets, especially since we have Patrick with us now. You know, he, Anthony, and I are probably going to be reviewing some of the older, like 90s, early 2000s. So be sure to check that out. Other than that, you know, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those other social media things, and also check us out on AnimeSecrets.org too.
Yep.
Yeah, we thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you guys next time.